This is CliffCentral.com. Auto Central, powered by Auto Trader on CliffCentral.com.
Right, good morning, folks. Welcome to Auto Central, motoring's biggest power hour, powered by Auto Trader, your trusted motoring marketplace. Thanks for tuning in live. If you're not tuning in live and you're downloading the podcast, well, thanks to you too. Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter at AutoTraderSA, and remember to use our hashtag AutoCentral in your tweets. Quite a jam-packed show this morning. Full studio here today. I'll start on my left. T, how you doing, bud?
I'm easy, buddy. I feel like we should give a big round of applause to Caster Semenya. Like, I think, hey, another gold. We're now on 10 medals, guys.
10 medals.
Yeah.
In total.
I mean, this is
round of applause.
Yeah, round of applause for that.
I'm good, so therefore I'm very good.
You're fantastic. I think we had a decent Olympic performance.
Yeah,
we could do better, I reckon. But anyway, we're not here to talk about sport. We had to talk about cars and things and what's happening in the motoring world. Lawrence, how are you doing, bud?
No complaints, bud.
Fantastic. Good to have you in the studio.
Always
Chad, nice to have you back.
Yes, here we go.
See, you've got sporting a new haircut.
You know.
Hey?
Yep, pop snip, things are getting warm, so the old one is getting hot.
Fantastic, fantastic. And then a very, very special guest. We have Nhlanhla Skosana from Sonke Gender Justice in studio with us. And we're here to unpack a story about a campaign that they've recently launched. We'll get into that. But just to kick things off this morning, thousands of Gauteng taxi operators are finally getting legalized after a recent government campaign to clean up the licensing system. The backlog of applications for licenses has swamped the Gauteng Department of Roads and Transport since 2011. The Gauteng National Taxi Alliance welcomed the campaign, saying it was the way to go. And I just want to touch on some of the results here. 199 operating licenses were issued on site during the meeting. 224 applications for licenses were referred to the provincial regulatory entity. 979 applications are being processed. 1,248 applications have been referred to the municipalities for checking. 122 applications were rejected due to false documents. 96 applications were incomplete, so could not be processed, and 909 more taxi operators who went to the meeting but didn't finalize applications would be helped later this month. And I think that's just a step in the right direction.
Oh, yeah.
Guys are obviously out there trying to make sure that, you know, taxis are being compliant and that they are roadworthy, because they do, you know, travel with people. They people carriers. And
this is such good news, because it means we are safer.
Well, 100%.
And we all understand the same law in the same way, which is fantastic. It's lovely news.
Which is the way it should have been from the beginning.
Actually.
Is it going to change the way they drive, though?
You know, I always say there's so much hope for this country. I mean, if we're moving forward in this type of direction, we're going places, guys.
Yes, but then why do we have to keep on going three steps back to go and relearn what the rest of the world already knows?
Chad, when you were a toddler, I mean, you crawled and you fell, and you reversed a little bit and you rolled over, you know? Yeah. We're a young country. Think about it. We're a young democracy, and we're overpopulated, according to me, especially cars on the road. And the level of education is pretty, very slow. So one way or another, it's getting better. Let's be positive.
It's getting better. No, I'm not gonna knock it there. It is getting better, and there are steps being made to improve it. And I love that fact that that it's showing growth, and it's showing a willingness to grow.
Yeah.
But it's a solution for a problem that shouldn't have been there in the first place.
Yeah.
You know, and that's you know, why are we sitting here and we're stunting our potential growth by having to go and relearn things again and get everybody on the same page? That's just the thing. It just feels a little counterintuitive, like a bit of a waste of time. But I suppose let's get the ABCs down first before we start running.
Exactly.
Let's learn to walk before we run.
100%. All right. So this brings us to story number two. A national campaign that aims to ensure the safety of the most vulnerable of taxi commuters, namely women and children, was launched in the city on Wednesday. The Safe Ride campaign, initiated by non-profit organization Sonke Gender Justice in partnership with the South African National Taxi Council, was kicked off at the Bree Street Taxi Rank. So this has been a fantastic, I mean, I really think that this is awesome, and it's a great initiative. And
I'm gonna bring lovely marriage, eh? This is a beautiful
exactly
marriage.
And I'm going to bring Nhlanhla in here now just to kind of unpack what it's all about. Why is it necessary that we are doing these things? Why have you guys got behind this? Who are you partnering with? Nhlanhla?
Thank you so much to be in this exciting, vibrant kind of a studio. And I'm so happy, you know, I've been sitting and listening to the talks about cars and stuff.
Yeah.
But also I appreciate the fact that, you know, our government is working on legislating the taxi industry and taking it very serious. And as Tsepo has said that, you know, it's all about safety. And we as Sonke Gender Justice with the SANTACO, which is South African National Taxi Council, and the Danish Embassy, We're working on a campaign called Safe Ride that is focusing on the safety of women and children in the taxi industry, because we know how much impact does gender-based violence has in our country, more especially in the economy of this country. Our country is losing about 40 billion rand because of gender-based violence. So this campaign seeks to create a very safe space for women, more especially women who work awkward hours, who have to wake up early in the morning at about 4 o'clock, catch a taxi to work. So they could be at work at 6 o'clock, and some of them, they come back very late at about 11, 12. I was at the Mall of Africa one day at about 9:30. I saw a group of young women wearing black clothes. I know they were from the restaurants.
Yeah.
Obviously, they were struggling to go back home. And my heart was bleeding and say, out of that 10, because I've counted them, how many of them they will arrive home safe? Why? Because we have a case that we've monitored, that in Foslora's, of a woman who's working at Spa, and she was on her way to work, got into a taxi between 5 and 6 a.m. She was assaulted by a taxi driver and raped. So those are the kinds of incidences that we know. The case of a young woman who was 25-year-old, who was stripped of her skirt because she was wearing a mini skirt, touched, you know, verbally, sexually harassed by the taxi drivers. So this campaign seeks to address that, to say the taxi industry must be a safe space for women. We're engaging with the leadership, we're engaging with the taxi drivers themselves. And we had a mini training with the Menko. Menko is the Santaco leaders provincially. They came, 65 of them. We had a mini workshop with them on the 16th, and in the evening we had a gala dinner on the 17th, then we launched the campaign. So this campaign is also supported by the Danish embassy, who have given us an opportunity and finances to kickstart the campaign.
Well, that's absolutely, I mean, that's phenomenal, yeah, that the Danish embassy is actually getting behind this kind of campaign, and not our local government, you know.
Understanding that it is a problem, and that it's a humanitarian sort of problem. It's not just based down to location.
Yeah.
It's actually just a case of humanitarianism.
And it's also a country image type of thing. I mean, if the world knows that public transport in South Africa is now safe, it's good for tourism. It's good for
business. Yes.
So this is a good move. I love it.
I think, you know, hand on heart, I'm not nervous to catch a taxi, but because I'm a male. And I think it is a shame that
we should even think like that. It should be
that women and children are being assaulted and are being raped by taxi drivers and people who are catching taxis. And it actually sounds like there's a system. I mean, talking to Nonhlanhla off air, these guys have, you know, they've worked schemes and plans on how to do it. Nonhlanhla, you were telling me that if, you know, 10 young girls get picked up from school in the afternoon, they all get dropped off in a particular pattern.
Mm-hmm.
That pattern gets changed. Mm-hmm. And 9 times out of 10, the last girl that is left is the victim.
Definitely. Because also, I would like to mention stories, because when we talk about issues of sexual violence, we're talking about a human being, a person who's got a life, who's supposed to live her life in the full potential. This young woman at Malelane, they were catching this taxi as a group, and you know, most of the time it's well-known people, and people that parents put the life of their children in their hands and they trust them for that. But then this taxi driver would, you know, drop each girl later, rape her. And fortunately, that is why we're calling upon men to say, as taxi drivers who are not perpetrators of sexual violence, don't keep quiet.
Yeah.
Don't turn a blind
eye. Yeah.
It is in your name. Mm. You need to hold these other taxi drivers accountable. You need on your own space, because during off-peak hours, they sit and they talk and they have food together. We say to them, let us change the narrative, change the language that you talk, you know, about a woman. That if a woman is wearing a skinny jean or a tight, you know, that woman is a sex object. But encouraging that culture. And this campaign, we want to see taxi drivers themselves training other taxi drivers. We would be training about 40 ambassadors who are representatives of the Santaco at the national level. And what I'm really proud about is you know, the commitment of the president of Santaco, even the language that he speaks. I think it will assist us, you know, to get into the minds and the attitude of taxi drivers in our country.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, we will get there. We will be providing training for them. and we will be doing dialogues where, you know, we talk to both commuters and the taxi drivers, and we, you know, want to reach a goal where a woman in South Africa will feel very safe in a taxi.
Okay, fantastic.
It boils down to education.
Well, 100%. You know, this is the problem. It's how are these guys being educated at school, and is
even in the workplace, because when they're chilling during non-peak hours, like Nontandla says, a lot of men look, the first glance at a woman is a sexual object.
Yes,
you know, so. I think the teaching there should be, it could be your sister.
Yeah, exactly. Or your mother.
It could be your mother.
It could be your own child.
It could be your own child. Yeah. You know? Exactly. So once we put that into their heads, then it comes back home, you realize it's Utia. So if so-and-so did it in Rustenburg to my sister, then I must also not do it. You know what I mean? It's a whole education thing. So this is a good marriage.
And I also think, this is not every single taxi driver out there. Yes. We're not pointing fingers, because we know that there are some guys who make a living. They're honest. They do their jobs properly. But again, it's the, you know, that 10% that rotten...
That spoils
it for the rest.
Yeah. So. And those are the taxi drivers that we would like to engage with and say, please be there, be an eye and be an ear for our community. We're not going to only focus on taxi drivers, but we'll develop material that will assist women who experience sexual harassment to report it immediately, to be able to report it immediately and get help. We are working with the 50 Tutuzela Care Center in this country. Those are one-stop facility for rape survivors and domestic violence survivors. Those people are trained to really provide necessary assistance. Whether you are a male or a female and you've experienced sexual violence, they would give you proper help. We're also working with the 23 community radio stations, the community radio station will speak the language of the community and be able to assist. We want to see stories of change being, you know, published in our community newspapers or community radio stations.
Sorry to budge in. Now, what do you do as a good taxi driver when you know that others are doing it? And you must understand there's fear of victimization for you as an innocent taxi driver. Mm-hmm. How do you go about it, reporting and still keeping your that English word,
with the information that you're going to provide them, they will be able to do that. The Department of Social Development has an SMS number. Sonke Gender Justice, we would provide our numbers, but the Tutuzela centers are based in the public hospital, so it is easy for the taxi driver to drive to the nearest Tutuzela center and report a case, and that case will be dealt with and he will remain anonymous. So we're also encouraging that, but you know, we would like to deal with the culture of bystanders who are not capable of doing anything. But we're saying, you know, we need to take that opportunity and use it. I always, you know, mention Umam Lilian Ngoyi to say, he said, we need to be brave to tackle these issues. So it takes, you know, I was talking to you in the morning, talking about a six-year-old who died and who was trying to prevent the perpetrator to rape her mother. A six-year-old boy, and I've read a number of stories. There's an eight-year-old boy who was trying to who died because tried to prevent her sister to be raped. An 11-year-old boy. So my question is, if these young boys could be able to do it, why not old men?
Grown-ass men, yeah.
Exactly. You know, it really is. I mean, we could have an entire show about this, but I just want to point out that all your information is on your website.
Yes.
And that is genderjustice.org.za.
Yes.
And the telephone numbers are there. You guys can contact Nonhlanhla and the guys at Sonke Gender Justice. And just to put it out there, this is an organization that is looking for funding. They do have... proposals out there. They need cash, and I really think if anybody out there is listening and you do want to get involved, please get hold of these guys. They really are doing a fantastic job, and we need to make taxis safe in South Africa.
And we have very good governance systems, so we really, you know, handle our resources very well. We provide reports. We have auditors coming in. So anyone who's willing to come and be partner in this project, you're welcome.
But I mean, can you imagine with so many taxis out there, if each taxi contributed 5 rands?
Exactly.
Just 5 rand per taxi.
But that's why it should be regulated, and they should actually have a fee that goes to, you know, campaigns like this. Yeah. So Nhlanhla Skosana, thank you so much for joining us on Auto Central today. We really appreciate the work that you're doing, and we'll be in touch. This is not going to be the first or the last interview with you, and please keep us up to date, and we'll let the listeners know how things are going out there.
Thank you for having us.
But before you go, what's your favorite car?
My favorite car. car. Yeah. I've been, you know, exposed in terms of conversation with the 7 Series. It's one of the cars that I had to drive.
Lovely, lovely, lovely.
Hint, hint, nudge, nudge. Yeah. Yeah.
There goes that whole budget, eh?
Go on. I'm going to test drive it, you know, okay. Go to the provinces, promote the project, meet the big guys in Santaco, and let the men be involved in prevention of gender-based violence in our country. Thank you so
much. Fantastic, Nhlanhla. Thank you so much. And Nhlanhla is handing over now, and we're going to pick up another conversation. Something really cool happening this weekend out at the Swartkops Raceway.
Yes.
There's a big 4x4, an outdoor show going down.
27 August. Is it 28, 27?
27th, 28th of August. We've got Cornel Groevier in studio with us here. Cornel, welcome to the show. And tell us a little bit more about the event.
Yes, morning, guys. The event is this weekend, the 27th and 28th of August, at Swartkop Raceway on the R55 in Centurion. We've got a jam-packed weekend ahead of us, so it's a perfect show for the guys to bring the whole family. And yeah, we'll look after you.
Fantastic.
And what do you mean you look after us? I'm that guy. I'm that guy. Because when I was there at Swartkops, I saw there are kiosks there. There's like beer things there. Yes. There's the Purevoros Hall here. And there's like nice ladies walking around in their jumpsuits. And there was this big, big Jeep with Muro tires there. So what do you mean look after us?
Okay. Apart from all the exhibitors we've got with the latest models of SUVs and 4x4s and caravans, jet skis, camping equipment, fishing equipment, motor vehicle accessories. We've got events at the show. So that's what makes the show special. Instead of just walking around looking at vehicles, you can actually experience the vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
So for instance, we've got on the main track, you've got the chance to test drive the latest SUVs.
Yeah, yuck, man.
No, I promise you. Nice. No, that's for free. Nice.
Man, how much is it to get in?
To get in for an adult is 100 rand.
500 rand for you.
For a child, for a child is 50 rand, and for pensioners is 80 rand. So if you add up, there's three stuff that's actually for free. It's the test drive on the track, on the 4x4 track, and the skid pan. You can go on for free. So if you take that already, for 100 rand, that covers already your 100 rand.
But obviously, people must have valid driver's licenses.
Valid driver's licenses, yeah.
But what a jaw.
What a jaw. What a jaw.
100%.
That's not a bad way to spend 100 bucks.
No, it's
not. No, cheap as
hell. But now, I mean, there are beer. What's your there? So if I've had two beers, will you allow me on?
No. We're very responsible. We promote, we promote safe driving. So, yeah, please make sure if you're going to have a beer, rather have it afterwards. We are going to breathalyze the guys. So the one on the track, you can go on. You can test drive it. Coming back to the 4x4 track.
Oh, yes, please.
The guys, because 4x4s, you know, it's a bit tricky. You've got to have some experience.
Sure.
So experienced drivers, you'll be as a passenger.
Oh,
experienced drivers will take you on the track, and they will, of course, show you the capability of the
what those cars can do.
Yeah.
And are you going to have most of the brands there? Have you got good support from the OEMs?
We've got most of the brands there, manufacturers actually. So yeah, we're well supported in the motor industry.
That's absolutely fantastic. So, I'm just going to look at
Maybe like a crash course, obviously, of how to operate a 4x4. Because I'll tell you why, there are millions and millions of 4x4s in the townships, and they've never engaged that 4x4.
No,
haven't got a cooking clue how it works. Why it's there?
Just to drive on the pavement, huh?
Yeah,
yeah, the church pavement or the festival. Yeah, I'm going off road because it is off road after almost.
No, exactly.
Yeah, when you climb the pavement, you're
so off-road. You can actually drive through the pothole, you know.
Listen, yes, you were saying.
So I just want to touch on some of the other things. Live monster trucks.
Live monster trucks, yeah. That's on the inside of the track. So there's live monster trucks.
And are those like the proper big monster trucks like you see in America?
The proper big ones.
It's a big black jeepney with the red rims.
Yeah. Well, let's put in perspective. Everything in America is bigger. So it is big, but not as big.
Not everything.
Okay, I get you.
Not everything. They might look big, but not everything. Welcome back to Africa, baby.
I'm actually quite... T, I think we should go this weekend because I wouldn't mind seeing you ride a camel, bud.
I've never ridden a camel before.
Have you?
Yeah.
Where?
That's no way to talk about your ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
What's your name again? No, but I've ridden camels at the ranch show. There's camels. I'm that black boy.
You do it, huh? Yeah. Fantastic.
I've bungee jumped, man.
Really?
I've skydived, man. What you talk about? No, I've shot firearms in the shooting range with my friend Eugene Leroux.
Well, you talk about shooting. There is a pellet range as well, huh?
So yeah, yeah. It's for the children. We've got laser tag. Yeah, laser tag.
Children.
And go-karts that children can go. And there's a lot of entertainment for the children.
And not just about 4x4ing and cars as well, but the whole outdoor kind of lifestyle, fishing, hunting, all those.
Fishing, hunting. Camping, 4x4 caravans, 4x4 trailers, the latest accessories, the latest equipment you can use for your 4x vehicles.
You know, when you're talking of caravan, we took our families to Bilabila at the campsite. It must have been like 12 families, just black people then. And on just across the road, there's caravans. But you know how loud we can get sometimes.
Yeah, not sure now, if it's a holiday or a toy toy.
No, vroeg in die ochtend, this African guy comes across. He says, "Verskoon me." And I look at him and says, "Kom hier asseblief. Kere more meneer, more so, excuse me. Hoe gaan het? Kere goed, dankie. Waarvan dan kom jylle? Kere why? What kind of black people are you?"
Yeah, he asked you.
Yeah, I'm like, what do you mean? He says, "I've never seen black people camping so many, with children even." And I'm like, "Why do you say with children?" He says, "Ah, but usually because it's done with Nyatsis." Oh, and then he killed me. I'm like, "I don't know, what's a Nyatsis?" He says, "Ah, no, let's leave it for the other day." But I mean, that's just the perception. And look, I think there's a 0 point something, like a very minimal number of camping. Now, how would you lure a family that's never camped? Like, what would you say to them to come to the event and enjoy it as a family?
Camping is for some people is actually a new thing. Even if you grow up in South Africa, a lot of people never go camping. So the thing is, because it's a family show, you know, bring your children.
Yeah.
And it starts with the children, because the children, you know how children are. They will say, "Mom, Dad, let's go there.
Yeah.
Let's go look at the caravan." For them, it's a new experience. True. And at the end of the day, you only spend quality time when you're alone with your children. And camping, fishing, all those outdoor activities, it's probably the best way to spend with your children.
And I think that's one of our biggest untapped resources, that we have places, you know, within a 2.5-3 hours drive, depending what you're driving.
And how you drive.
And how you drive. But, you know, you really can get away and have a weekend away. It doesn't cost you a lot of money, and it is. It's quality time with the family. So that's really, really fantastic.
And we've got a fantastic climate for it. We've got fantastic countryside for it. And that's the beauty, especially if you're Joburg-based, is that, you know, you travel, like Lawrence always says, hour and a half in any direction, and there's a complete change of scenery.
True. Yeah,
you know. So, do you want to be up sort of in amongst the hills and that? Head out north. You know, you want to also go out hills and some flatlands and that? Head out east. You want to go in down to the dam or something? It's an hour and a half to the south.
You want one traffic light? Head out to Zeerust.
Yes, yeah. And a goat tied to a tree.
Apparently, it's not there anymore. They've moved their traffic light. It's now a four-way stop. It makes a lot of sense. What is it there for?
I took a photo of that traffic light.
Yeah.
Have you seen how old that thing was? Because that thing was ancient. It was still decorated with like decoupage and all kinds of stuff on the top. It was archaic.
What is it with you and Zeerust?
Been there a couple of times.
It's a place you come from, not go to.
Cornel, just quickly on the event, what time do the gates open on Saturday?
On Saturday, it opens at 8 and it closes at 5.
And then on Sunday?
It also opens at 8 and it closes at 4.
Okay, fantastic. So a full weekend, come and play. And if you come on the Saturday and you pay, do you have to pay again on the Sunday?
Yeah.
Okay,
Yeah.
Hey, I'm just asking the questions, bud.
It's 2 days, so how can it be one prize?
Maybe you got a band or a stamp. You know when you go to a nightclub and then you go to another nightclub and you come back and you got the same stamp?
Not that kind of jewel.
It's not that kind of party, buddy.
And you guys can visit our website.
Yes.
Yeah, it's www.4x4outdoorshow.co.za.
And all the information is on there.
All the information is on there. The address, directions, the cost, what events are going to take place, the times, the works.
Yeah.
I'm kind of sorry we're missing it, hey?
We'll tweet the pic. Now, if you want to bring your own 4x4, would you allow me to go on the track with my 4x4 instead of yours?
No, unfortunately not. The whole venue.
Because it has to be roadworthy.
It's about safety first. I mean, we can't have vehicles driving up and down the show. So the whole show is enclosed. You can test drive one of those vehicles and then, nothing stops you from doing those same things with your vehicle outdoor.
Fantastic. And just so that you guys know, this information is on autotrader.co.za as well. Cornell, thank you very much for joining us in studio. It sounds like it's going to be an absolutely fantastic event. I know that we don't have plans for the weekend, so now I know what I am going to be doing.
What do you mean? Now we have plans.
I've got plans.
Yeah.
For the weekend.
Yeah.
Do you want to come with?
I'll see you there. No, you'll find me there.
Okay. What, in the beer garden? Yeah.
What is a no-no in a 4x4?
A no-no in a 4x4?
Yeah, like what? like when you're on the course, like when you're doing the whole 4x4 off-road course, what mustn't you do besides drinking and driving?
Well, if you're on the course and you as a passenger, or you're driving yourself.
As a driver.
Well, in this case at the show, you won't be able to drive. Okay? You will only be a passenger. But I think the guys are instructors. So, I mean, you get a lot.
They teach you a lot. Yeah.
They teach you a lot. You get a lot of clever guys. I've been driving a vehicle for 10 years, 4x4. So, the thing is, listen to the guys.
Yeah.
Because they will tell you, how a vehicle operates.
Yeah. So, and what's nice is you'll obviously be able to go in different vehicles. So you can go in the Land Rover, then you go in the Toyota, etc.
You can go in different vehicles. You can go in one vehicle. You can come after 2 hours, go in another vehicle.
Yeah, fantastic. There. Well, Cornell, thanks so much for joining us. We're going to go to a half-time break here. And I don't know, Chad, you can choose the car today. It has to be a 4x4 because we're out in the Bundus. I've chosen a song that I think is quite cool for 4x4ing. Well, let's just say the song for this weekend.
I have a feeling he's going to say Jaguar.
No. Actually, I'm going to go with what I've currently got on test.
Oh, fantastic,
and I think,
yes.
And we're going to make that
you. What are you driving now?
The Land Rover Defender 110 Adventure. Yes. So it is the last hurrah. It is
the swan song.
It's the swan song. It's special, but I can't figure out if that's Olympic gold special or crayon up the nose window licking special.
Well, anyway, on that note, guys, here's Just Ginger, Paradise in Summertime.
Not everyone who likes cars is a petrolhead. Some of us prefer the unmotoring side of cars. Yet we all spend so much time in these machines that they have become an extension of our personalities and reflect quite a bit about who we are and where we are in our life stages. On Auto Central, we understand this.
Make sure you're up to speed with all things motoring by tuning into Auto Central every Monday morning at 9 a.m. just after the Gareth Cliff Show, or download the podcast on autotrader.co.za. Auto Central, motoring's biggest power hour, powered by Auto Trader.
CliffCentral.com. Car news and reviews on Auto Central.
Right, we're back and talking cars today, and that's why we got Lawrence in studio, because Lawrence had the pleasure of test driving, and I think were you shooting a video? Was it a launch or what was it?
No, it was we had on test for a week.
Okay,
and but you did the launch as well, though.
Yes, I did last year.
Yeah,
but you know what? It is exactly that, Ty. It was actually a pleasure, believe it or not.
Okay.
There are so many people these days that think, Tata, that must be better.
Yeah, just so you know, we're talking about the Tata Bolt. Yeah.
It is the Tata Bolt. Yeah. And the thing, what is pretty cool is Tata did a little bit of introspective, and they went back to the drawing board, and they have basically just redesigned a whole new fleet of vehicles, the Tata Bolt being the first one out of the blocks. So we should be seeing a whole bunch of new vehicles pretty soon. And what is really cool is they've now, like I said, they went back to the drawing board. They're not cheap and nasty anymore.
Sure. because I mean they do. They don't have the
best reputation.
Yeah, their reputation is not not that great.
It was because of the looks, man.
It got hurt, let's put it that way. When they first and people lumped them into that category of the cheap Eastern vehicles.
Yeah.
With Tata having acquired Jaguar Land Rover, they started raiding their ideas bin, let's put it that way. And a lot of the tech from Jaguar and Land Rover vehicles, you'll actually start seeing in Tata.
In Tata.
Hmm. And even some of the design cues. And that's what surprised me. Is I sat there and I compared, we took a look at it. And oddly enough, on that day that we actually shot that video, and the video is up on our YouTube channel, we had the Jaguar XF there.
Yeah.
So we had the XF and we had the Tata Bolt there. So we had a chance to actually take a look at the two of them sort of side by side. And if you know what you're looking for, you can start seeing
the cues.
That, hey, the
same
guys working on this car that are working on that car. The design cues are the same. There's some of the switch placement and that, and you start saying, well, okay, now. So there's a little bit of cross-pollination here. There's a little bit of blending, a bit of knowledge share going on there, which isn't a bad thing.
Definitely not. I think it's awesome. And obviously, Tata have done it for a reason.
They're trying to break that mold, that stigma that's now attached to the Tata name.
Yeah.
That's it's cheap and nasty. The thing is, the car, it might be cheap, but it is not nasty anymore. No. The interior trim is top-notch. And like I said, those design cues are now starting to and stuff that you would find in high-end vehicles and that you won't find in any of its competitors in this segment, you're now starting to see a touchscreen entertainment system, steering wheel controls. You don't get any of that in a Honda i10.
i10, the Ford Figo, or the Mahindra.
What do you get in a 20? i20, do you get it?
Yeah, but the Tata Pulse not in that segment. Yeah. This is the sub 180, sub 180,000 rand category.
Okay.
Yeah. And this car comes in 161,000 rand, which is...
Sure.
For... I mean, I would be comfortable putting one of my kids in.
Okay, so you would, I mean, you were happy to drive it with...
I would buy it.
Okay. Well, fantastic.
I mean, the motor surprised me. It was actually quite a peppy, pokey little motor. I mean, I didn't get a chance to drive it a lot and spend much time with it on the highway and that, but it didn't seem to battle. It seemed
not at all
fairly fuel efficient, fairly pokey, you know, more than sufficient for whatever just about anything you're going to throw at it, bar a track day.
It's a 1.2 turbocharged motor. And I tell you what, 66 kilowatts, it's plenty. It's all you need for your city driving.
So perfect kind of, you know, run around Monday to Friday, you know, fetch and carry the kids from sport and stuff. And
I think I had it down to like 4.8 liters.
What a pleasure. Sure. But yeah. I think that's like
a diesel. Hey?
I don't know about what you guys think, but I really think that that's where motoring is going to go. Guys are going to start choosing cars on
practicality.
Do you want to go there?
No, not with you, but...
Because I've got an hour of that. I actually posted, I shared a video that I saw on Facebook, and I shared it on my timeline, and that, yeah. And I started writing and I didn't realize that I'd essentially written War and Peace in this post. Okay. Yeah. I just couldn't stop. But it was just the fact that I'm almost sad that my grandchildren, like the video was of a nice old muscle car that was just idling along almost. It sounded like a slow clap that was happening as he just drove past. The thing was
tug, 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 idling.
And not even, it would idle, drop. Just as was, come onto cam, come off the cam, come on the cam. Typical old supercharged American V8 and was just idling along and it was like leaving a car show type thing. And he just turned the corner and he stopped there. And then the revs just shot up with this almighty sound, instant tire smoke.
Yeah.
This thing just stood stationary and then it rocketed away in a straight line. But such a brute...
It wasn't a Mustang.
It wasn't a Mustang. It stayed straight. Yeah. Okay.
Really?
No, it stayed straight. It wasn't a Mustang. Yeah. It was a Chev of sorts. And I just lamented the fact that my great-grandchildren are probably never going to experience that, because this sort of fossil fuel and this sort of big displacement, big power is going to be reserved for memory banks and history pages on Wikipedia and that.
Yeah.
And their cars and their motoring are going to be autonomous,
hybrid
or electric, hydrogen, however it's going to be. They're not going to know what it's like to hear a V8 just rumble past you.
Raw. So they, I mean,
feel it go past you. It is. It's sort of sad, and we're living in an age of extinction here.
Yeah.
And that for me is.
Save the muscle car. There's a campaign. Save the muscle car.
Save the V8.
Well, listen, Chad. I agree, and I think, you know, Monday to Friday driving around in a Tata Bolt, fantastic.
It's
but
fine.
On the weekends,
yes, please.
You gotta let go. Yeah. And I agree. I mean, I'd love to be able to put my boys into a muscle car and go for a nice long drive
because
and just
the way
to experience.
That fuel prices are going. It's going to be reserved for the well-heeled.
Yes.
For the races and only special occasions.
Special occasions.
So it is that weekend. Okay. I've managed to get one barrel. You've got to think like I Am Legend sort of thing.
Yes.
There's one barrel of fuel left over. Okay. And you paint that sort of picture. And let's do it here. We got a minute or two.
Yeah.
One barrel of fuel left over.
Mm.
What car do you take for your last drive?
Oh,
jeez. Look, hey, the fact that you said last drive, it must be epic. So I'm going to take the most powerful muscle car. I'm not
going to
take...
So one barrel, it's going to be brief. You're not going to be able to drive for long enough.
It's still...
But it's going to be worth it.
Yeah.
Hey?
Oh, absolutely. That's my attitude.
Yeah, I think I'm going to get into...
I want to make good use of that fuel.
You know, my heart is torn between a really, really fast sports car or like an old, proper muscle car.
I got you guys all beat. I'd put it in a bike. I'd go further.
You would, eh?
Yeah, good call.
I'd put it in a bike.
And you, Chad?
You know, I'd love to split it up, even if it is just a brief moment that I've got with it, because I've split it up. You know, something with an insane sort of turbocharger. There's this old turbocharger saying, and of course, it's just the way that it works. The larger a turbocharger is, the more laggy it is, and the longer you have to wait. But the bigger the turbocharger, the more boost it can create. So there's this old turbocharger saying that says, the longer you have to wait, the more you have to look forward to.
It's worth the wait.
It's worth the wait. It's worth the wait. So something properly laggy.
Yeah.
Turbocharged and laggy.
Honda Civic.
It's just waiting for VTEC to kick in. No, it's something like a like an old Group B rally car. Just that primal and an Audi, you know, the S1?
Yes.
Or an RS200, something like that. Something with proper bonkers punch, a good soundtrack to go with it. And then, yes, it would have to be something naturally aspirated V8 or supercharged V8. It just, it's got to be the sound and the smell and the feeling, the vibration and everything that comes through.
Yeah, because it's got to create that like inner, like, you know, rip your guts
if you're
open.
If you're just hearing it, you're only experiencing it once. You know, that's how we learn to study. We learn to study by repeating it and writing it down and listening to it back. And, you know, back in the day, we used to sit there with a tape recorder as we were studying and dictaphones. And to be able to really sort of take that memory with me, I think I'd have to feel it, I'd have to smell it, I'd have to hear it, I'd have to see it, the whole works.
Well, talking about feeling it and smelling it and stuff, we were fortunate enough to get a spin in that new club sport last week. Chad was very, very kind and took us for I don't want to say joyride, but a nice ride down Rivonia Road, which was a hell of a pleasant. And
Short but pleasant.
And I think we can, let's chat about that a little bit. But Chad, I think you've also got something.
We've got the video. The video is done and dusted. The video is
fantastic.
Dropping
I cannot
tomorrow.
Wait to see it. Tomorrow on Auto Trader
channel. Okay. It is one of my proudest moments. I love this video. I have sat there and I've watched my own work. And that's difficult to do. Sometimes it's difficult. I mean, you've worked in TV and that's sometimes it's difficult to watch your own work. You cringe and you're like, I could have been done better.
Absolutely.
You know, I could have done that better. And I mean, we do the production here in-house, Lawrence and myself, and just the production side of things, we're super chuffed with that as well. So we really want you guys to see it. And because it was such a surprising car, I'm not a VW fan.
Okay.
I'm not a fan of the Golf.
Here comes the but.
But that car is special.
Fantastic.
And that's Olympic gold special, not crayon up the nose special. Okay, just going to say.
Awesome.
Right. Well, I also took it for a night drive, and that video went up on our Facebook and our Twitter, and I think it's out on our Instagram as well, so you guys can go and look for it there. But we're going to play you a short little clip from that. So let's. This is the just a night drive in the VW GTI Club Sport.
Middle of Joburg, 3 o'clock in the morning.
You can actually feel how fast that car can actually go just by the sound.
It is. I mean, that's a signature sound.
I cannot wait to see that video, guys. I think absolutely fantastic. And
it is
I can tell you now, if you see the smiles in studio right now, you know it's going to be a shit hot video. So make sure you get onto autotrader.co.za tomorrow and go and watch that video.
Enjoy
it.
You'll understand what we were feeling.
Yeah. I mean, is there anything else? I mean, you probably cover most of the stuff in the video about the cars.
I chat about the car. I don't go into like the real nitty gritty details of it and that sort of stuff, but more what the car means to Volkswagen and to the people. And it's my impression of it. And like I say, I'm not a VW fan, and this is pretty. This comes out. I'll mention this in the video as well. So I wasn't a fan of it, but this car was special. And I mean, in that one, I will tell you why I feel it is so special. How VW has done it right, and it was just. I really enjoyed driving it, and it's one of those cars. Every now and then, I mean, I do. I'm very fortunate and blessed enough to be able to drive a lot of cars. And this is one of them. You get them every now and then. There's a car that sort of stands out that speaks to you. And I'm a firm believer in cars have got personalities and cars have got characters. And it's the personification of machinery is giving it a character and finding out what that character is. And I've mentioned it before. I went and test drove a Subaru many, many years ago, about 16 years ago. And the salesman there asked me, listen, he was on the phone busy organizing the test drive. It was the first time the WRX was available in the United States. And he said to me, listen, what color do you want it in? And I said, well, what does it
what
matter?
Does it matter?
He says, no, if it's not the right color, you're not going to hear it. Cars talk to you.
Sure.
I was dude, you're a man after my own heart.
It's the thing is, you know, that club sport, it doesn't talk to you. It shouts at you.
It does. And it's, oh, it's naughty. It's a temptress. That club sport is a temptress. I mean, and just about everybody that has encountered that vehicle has got rave reviews and is singing its praises. Absolutely
let's
broken.
Let's talk about those air inlets in the front. You explained. Because
It's actually got active aero. So active aerodynamics that it actually starts creating downforce. And the front air ducts actually negate the negative pressure in the wheel wells. I'm getting a little technical here. Negate the negative pressure in the wheel wells and neutralize that so that it's not creating basically lift. And if you're not creating lift, you're creating downforce.
So it's take those corners, eh?
So it is performance orientated. Rear wing and the rear diffuser are actually functional. These actually help suck the car down to the ground in the same way that Formula One's wings work.
Yeah.
Not to those sort of levels. You're not going to drive upside down in a tunnel, theoretically. But it does help, and it helps with the high-speed stability in that, and it is a fantastic car. On the highway, it just feels so planted. And sadly, before you know it, you're on the wrong side of the law, and you really do need to sort of dial it back in that. But it's very, very easy to just join the highway, and all of a sudden you look down, and you're like 140, 150. I mean, we don't condone the speeding.
210.
It can happen very comfortably, you know, with a heavy foot. Before you know it, you're doing speeds on
the
wrong side.
I don't like the mags, though.
Yeah, the wheels.
No, they're terrible.
The wheels could have been a bit better. It works a little better on a lighter color. We had it in a very dark color.
Yeah,
it works a little better in a lighter color. They're not bad, but yeah, they could have been a little more. But you can spec it, you know. So you can.
Sound that we just listened to. You explained how it all works. I mean, this whole. What actually happens there?
Dropping excess fuel into the exhaust keeps the turbo spooling, keeps the turbo spinning, keeps the boost levels up. And just makes it sound
and it keeps
hella
us all
cool.
Excited.
Exactly. It's just to give it a little bit of a signature sound. Yeah. Basically, the hot exhaust gases and everything just ignite this fuel. You're hearing a little bit of an explosion in the exhaust. That's that, the DSG burp.
Oh, it's really, and I mean, even from the interior, I mean, it's just
beautifully trimmed.
It's really, really well trimmed.
Not groundbreaking in terms of its design, but which Golf has ever been groundbreaking in the way that the interior is designed? Mm. It's just the way that this one's trimmed and the way that it's bolted together that feels really, really good.
Yeah. Do you think the reception from the consumer is going to be good?
I think so.
VW's got a problem on their hands. They're not going to have enough vehicles to supply. Yeah.
Well, if I'm going to go into the marketing side of things now, just the way they've marketed this vehicle,
the
you
most
know,
powerful
the,
GTI since GTI.
And it is.
I mean,
it is.
What a campaign line! It really is. So you know,
I'm not going to give away too much
on
the car because I want you guys to go and watch the video and see what it's about and see it in action and that. And
a lot of guys who drive GTI 7s are not quite impressed with that ad.
Of course not.
Now they know they're not driving the best one. They're not the most powerful anymore.
And wait, we've got Club Sport S coming out.
Well,
3-door, essentially a 2-door version of what you saw. No back seats, stripped out, lightweight, more power. Only 40, I think 40 or 47 of those will be making their way into the country. That is exclusive. That one rustles my jimmies.
He's like, get your name on the list. Chad, guys, thanks so much. We're really looking forward to seeing that video, which is obviously dropping tomorrow. Don't go away, because when we come back, we're talking tech BMW 7 Series. Huh?
Yep.
Fantastic.
Talking tech on Auto Central.
Well, there was a short break. Kind of
what
like
was
a,
that? It?
Yeah, a lap around the highway in the GTR. Yeah, exactly. 100%. So, Chad, you went to the 7 Series came out last year?
January. Launched in January in that. And it was a little strange. I think they were just hoping to sort of capitalize on the fact that, you know, South Africans are hungry for it and showing that South Africa is still in the same place. But they released it in a fairly, I don't want to say detuned, but in a fairly lower spec. You know, the stuff hadn't quite, all the tech hadn't been homologated and tested for local market. So what they had to do was they had to wait for the testing and the approval process before they could offer some of the tech that is available in the 7 Series internationally, available locally.
Okay, and then
so there's a bit of an update that's happened, and 7 Series is now available with its remote parking.
I watched a video on the vehicle over the weekend, and what a car. Jeez,
it's not
private,
a car, it's a limousine.
Yes.
Private
yeah.
jet
yes.
kind
it's
of,
a limousine.
You know.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is, I mean, it is a technological marvel. It's not necessarily groundbreaking, and that was the bit that got to me, was that it's not necessarily groundbreaking, but it is pioneering the way that we're going to see BMWs in the future? Because this always happens. We see it with Mercedes-Benz, the S-Class. They introduce technology into that and it slowly starts filtering down into the smaller models. And the same, 7 Series is the flagship and it starts filtering
it's
down.
It's a huge car.
It's a big car, but it's not awkward to drive. It's actually very, very easy to drive, and it's thanks to all these assistance systems. There's so much technology packed into this car. Like I say, the updates, just to give you a quick rundown, they've now got the remote parking. Mm. And when I say remote parking, it is. You step out of the car, and you drive the car using the smart key, the display key.
Which is kind of like a...
It looks like a little mini cell phone.
Yeah, it's like a mini cell phone with a screen, and you push the arrow up button and the car parks itself.
It's got a touch screen on it and that, and you stand there, you press the park button in, and as soon as you press and hold that, then it shows you start engine, and press the button, and the engine starts. You're not in the car. There's nobody in the car. It is empty. Press the start button, and then you get a... It takes a few seconds to just sync, and then you see an image of the car, and then you can push it forwards or backwards. All this time, it's using all the sensors and everything to detect where there is obstructions, where there's a vehicle next to you, where there's a pillar or something of the sorts, and drives it in until... And you don't need to sit there and edge it forward until
it's in.
No,
it'll just take it in.
You drive, push it in until it's 40 centimeters away from an obstacle, and there it stops. And if a child or a pedestrian or a dog or a pet or something runs in between, it will emergency brake it and quit the system.
Wow, that's really good. Especially because we've got minute parking spaces. I mean, in South Africa, so
you know what
you
the thing
is. You need to get out of the car and then
here's
park.
Here's my honest side of things. This is pretty useless. It really is. Think about it. In South Africa, we've got pretty big parking bays.
When you're talking about the strip malls and shopping centers and stuff
shopping
like that.
Centers and that.
Yeah, but in residential areas, when you go visit someone at a
residential areas, fairly tight. City, yes, still tight, but not as tight as what it is in the markets that they're aiming at. So think now London, New York, Cisco, Hong Kong. Your Asian countries, those ones are sitting with big parking problems, especially in CBDs and that. Yes, this makes sense.
Yeah.
The problem I have with this is it's ideal for when you can't open the door. So you'd be able to pull into the parking spot, but then you wouldn't be able to get out.
Yeah.
That's all good and well. Okay, so you climb out and you park your BMW, but that guy next to you?
Yeah, he doesn't care.
He doesn't have auto park.
Yes, he's going to have a dent on your door.
You're going to have a dent on your door. Okay, he's going to try and get into his car. So that is
and
a little...
And he'll be very upset because firstly, you're driving a beautiful 7 Series BMW. Secondly, you've squeezed him into parking.
Exactly.
He's going to scratch your
car. He's not going to be impressed.
He's getting out of his China Star and he doesn't care. He's opening his door.
But if he could get in, you could get in or out. Okay, so you're talking about a gap that he can't even get in. This guy's going in. The guy next to you is going to have to go in through his sunroof. Let's hope it's equipped
if
like
he's
that.
Got a sunroof.
If he's got his sunroof. Yeah.
Can I just add in that the 7 Series, I don't quite know the numbers, but they're not really made for the driver to drive. You have a chauffeur that drives you in your 7 Series.
It's not a full-blown, let's say, like a Maybach or a Rolls-Royce or something of the sorts, but BMW do estimate that about 50% of about half of the people that purchase a 7 Series won't actually drive it. They'll be driven in it.
So then your chauffeur better learn how to use that parking.
Yes.
And look, if
he's employed to be a chauffeur already, he must have met the couple
standards. You know where it does help, though?
Yeah.
Is your own garage. When you're sitting there and you've got a smaller garage, slightly downscaled, and with the way that housing is going now, thank you, SummerCon, all the places are absolutely tiny.
Yeah.
You know, they're small, the garages are small, parking is at a premium in that. What it does help with is, I'm not saying it's completely useless, but it's just not as effective as what people think it to be. You know, getting out of a spot where somebody has parked you in, or squeezing it into a spot that wouldn't ordinarily be a viable parking lot, basement parkings and that sort of stuff, the ones right up against the wall that are difficult to get into. Yeah. Yes, you can utilize that space with your quite large 7 Series.
I think, you know, some of the other things in this vehicle, and I mean, I just think it's really, really cool that you can stop at a robot and you just have to motion your hand in the direction of left or the direction of right, gesture control to turn the volume, you know.
Volume up or down. You can switch tracks. You can answer and receive, answer or reject phone calls as well. And you can customize a couple of other gestures for...
You can make your own customize
a gesture. Yes, it's still really early days for this sort of gesture control, so it doesn't always quite work.
Sure,
but it's not too bad. Also, it's the first time that it's been fitted that a BMW infotainment system, the iDrive system, has been fitted with a touchscreen. So you've got your iDrive console in the center. your command module, you can use gesture control, or you can touch the screen. So there's three different ways of doing it. And of course, you've got your voice commands as well, which are quite effective. The real thing that got me was its adaptive cruise control. These are only some of the tech that's in it. I know we're wrapping up shortly, but some of the tech was when I did the launch, I drove all the way from Somerset West to the V&A waterfront without touching a pedal in traffic.
Wow.
Oh, gosh, what a pleasure.
That's adaptive cruise control.
Adaptive cruise control. So I set it. Maximum, 65 k's an hour, 60 k's zone. And it did the whole traffic thing for me. As the car in front of me slowed down, it slowed down, kept the gap. As the car pulled away, it accelerated away.
Wow.
Now, at certain points, I hardly even had to touch the steering wheel because of the lane keep.
So, so it holds its...
Autonomous driving, here we go.
This is fast going to the autonomous driving. My big issue with it, though, is this sort of stuff is starting to breed complacency. It's something I've discussed in the past as well.
Chauffeurs are going to lose their jobs.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You are going to be driven around.
But I see the car does signal to you, if you do take your hands off the steering wheel, you do get the red flashing light that says, make sure you hold the wheel.
But if you don't comply, it gives you a little...
All it needs to do is feel a little bit of torque, a little bit of resistance. So you can hold it with two fingers here. While you're busy sending a WhatsApp or Snapchatting or something of the sort. That's my problem with it. Is not trying to
it encourages it. Actually.
It encourages it because now you're like, well, I can't hit the car in front of me because this car's going to stop for me.
Yeah.
I can't veer off the road or into another lane because this car's going to correct me. So you sit there, distracted, doing other things.
All right, boys. Well, another fantastic show. Guys, thanks very much for being in studio. We've got a fun, full day ahead of us. We're going out there to create some iconic...
Can we call a teaser? Let's tell people what's going on.
So, like Chad said, we've got the 110 Double Cab Heritage Edition.
Adventure.
And we've chosen four Land Rover Defender adverts. And we are going to go and recreate these today in the CBD. So, watch the space.
Explore,
I think we're going to have CBD and surrounds.
Yeah,
like the greater Johannesburg
area. Greater Johannesburg area,
Guys, thanks very much for tuning in. Like we said, follow the conversation. Join us on Facebook and Twitter at AutoTraderSA. And use our hashtag
AutoCentral.
Thanks very much. And until next week, drive safe. And we'll see you at SWAT Corps on the weekend.
Shab Kazlam.
100%. Lekker, guys. Cheers.
This is CliffCentral.com.